हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदम् पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ ईशावास्यम् ईशावास्यम् इदं सर्वम् इदं सर्वम् यत्किञ्च जगत्याम् जगत् यत्किञ्च जगत्याम् जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः मा गृधः कस्य स्वर्धनम् मा गृधः कस्य स्वर्धनम् कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि नेवेह कर्माणि जिजीविषेच्छतगुं समाः जिजीविषेच्छतगुं समाः एवं त्वयि नान्यथेतोऽस्ति नान्यथेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे लिप्यते नरे। We know very well now the first mantra presents the Jnana Yoga which is in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad known as Vidyasutram. Next mantra presents the Karma Yoga which is in Brihat called Avidya Sutram. Vidya Sutram and Avidya Sutram are different titles, names given to these two disciplines in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. You know very well Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga are two disciplines, different disciplines. Both the disciplines have to be followed by everyone sequentially, not simultaneously. They cannot be followed simultaneously. They must be followed sequentially. And which should be followed first, which should be followed later? Karma Yoga should be followed first, because Karma Yoga is a discipline which prepares the mind, which is a preparatory discipline, prepares the mind for the pursuit of knowledge. And Jnana Yoga is the discipline which is followed for the attainment of knowledge. And knowledge is attained for the attainment of moksha. Even though we say knowledge is the means for moksha, moksha is the end accomplished as a result of knowledge. Really speaking, knowledge and moksha are identical. Attainment of knowledge itself is freedom. After attaining jnanam, no action, nothing needs to be done. Knowledge of action, a knowledge of a ritual, if we have, that knowledge has to be implemented in the form of a performance of a ritual, a performance of an action to enjoy the benefit of knowledge. If you know how to make pasta, if you simply know it is not enough, you must go to the kitchen and make it, only then you can enjoy the benefit of the knowledge of how to make pasta. So knowledge has to be implemented in the form of an action to enjoy the benefit. Come to this Shivananda Ashram, learn yoga strictly for 1 week. After going back, people don't practice, they can't enjoy the benefit. They have to practice regularly what they learn here to enjoy the benefit. Whereas Atma Jnanam, knowledge of the reality, itself is freedom. It need not be implemented afterwards. Nothing needs to be done. So knowledge is freedom. We saw the first day when he said, knowing what is rope itself is what? Relieves you from the fear of snake. Knowledge is freedom. So knowledge and freedom, jnanam and moksha, atma jnanam and moksha, freedom, happiness, are identical. Even though we say knowledge is the means, moksha is the end. So this is the order presented in sampradaya. Karma yoga is a discipline to be followed for preparing the mind for the attainment of knowledge or for the pursuit of knowledge. Jnana Yoga is a discipline to be followed for the attainment of knowledge. And knowledge is for moksha. Knowledge itself is moksha. This is the order. So between the Karma Yoga and the Jnana Yoga, there is a connection, sambandha. What is the connection? Upaya upeya sambandha. Karma yoga is upaya, means. Jnana yoga is upeya, an end. And jnana yoga is upaya. Jnanam is the upayam. Jnanam is the upaya, moksha is upaya. So upaya upaya sambandha means end connection. This must be very clear. So yesterday we just started the bhashyam on the second verse. We saw the literal meaning also. Kurvanne eva jijivishet shatam samaha karmani kurvanneva, performing one's karmani actions, karmani, one should desire to live one's full span of life 100 years, of 100 years. Evam tvayi nare karma na lipyate, karma na limpati. Action does not touch, attain, afflict. Karma, here result of an action. Karma here means, one word karma means action, karma also means result of action. Karma phalam. The results of actions do not afflict. Result of an action does not taint. Punya papam, punyamar papam will not touch a person, will not afflict the person. How, if a person lives his life performing actions, other than this, that is how one can protect oneself. Evam tvayi nare karma na lipyate. If a person lives his life in this manner, performing actions, lives his span of life, then he can protect himself. Anyatha itaha anyatha, itaha anyatha na, itaha anyatha na, itaha anyatha na, nanyathetaha asti, itaha anyatha na, itaha na anyatha. Otherwise, there is no other way of protecting oneself. Okay, in the previous verse, also protection was promised. How one can absolutely, completely, totally protect oneself? Rakshanam katham kuryat? How can one protect oneself? The first shloka, you can understand the first mantra. See, I have to talk about the first mantra also here. See, the protection is possible only with the jnana nishtha. Jnana nishtha means being endowed with assimilated, ascertained vision of the truth, or reveling in the vision of the truth is jnana nishtha. The knowledge attained can never be forgotten, never forgettable. Called jnana nishtha, remaining steadfast in the vision of the truth of the whole as one's own self, in which one would absorb one's own individuality. One's own identity is resolved in truth. Identity is no more with the body, mind and complex. Identity would have been resolved in truth, and not only that, the universe also would have been resolved in truth. Even duality is negated in that vision. This is the jnana nishtha, which is the protection. Is there any other way of protecting oneself? No. This is the jnana nishtha. This is how one can protect oneself. So protection is the ultimate goal, which is being free, being happy always, everywhere, with everybody. That protection is possible through jnana nishtha. And for jnana nishtha, what should one do? One has to take to a life of sannyasaha. Life of sannyasaha means what? One becomes free from the hold of desires for wealth, progeny and worlds. And such freeing oneself from the hold of desires for wealth, progeny, verse, etc. is possible. Such sannyasa is possible only if a person already has jnanam. One must be a vidwan to go through, to take to vidvat sannyasa. Jnanam must be there. What is the jnanam one must have? One must have discovered one's own real nature. One must have Atma Jnanam, which is Brahma Jnanam. One must have the knowledge of reality obtaining as one's own self, and thereby in the light of the knowledge of one's own self, one must have understood the fact of everything else being mithya. This is Jnanam. The person who is endowed with the clear vision of one's own self being Atma and everything else being the manifestation of Atma, the way one who has understood the entire everything being mithya, is it? Being endowed with this understanding is Jnanam. So one who has that Jnanam is Vidwan. And once you have Jnanam, then the person can take to Sannyasa, which is Vidvat Sannyasa, renunciation through knowledge. Thereby he can have Jnana Nishtha, and thereby he can protect himself. What is the order? Jnana Praptihi, attainment of knowledge, wherein he sees everything is mithya. Then he takes to Sannyasa. Then having Jnanam itself is what? Being given to Sannyasa, Vidvat Sannyasa. Then that helps him to have Jnana Nishtha, and which is the protection. So here 4 points, this is the order presented in the first verse. And Vidvat Sannyasa is explicitly presented in the first verse. But Vividisha Sannyasaha also is presented there, but indirectly, not implicitly, isn't it? Explicitly it is not presented, but indirectly it is presented. It is mentioned. What is Vividisha Sannyasaha? I said, taking to life of sannyasa because of maturity, because of jnanam, is vidvat sannyasa. But a person who is ignorant, who has yet to have jnanam, also is recommended to take to a life of sannyasa if he is endowed with fourfold qualifications. Sadhana Chaturthaya Sampanna Adhikari is allowed to take to a life of sannyasaha called Vividisha Sannyasaha. Yesterday I explained Vetumicha Vividisha, one who has to know, one who wants to know, is Vividishu. You saw. So the person who has Purushartha Nischaya, who knows the value of knowledge and who becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and he takes the life of sannyasa and he becomes free from all social obligatory duties, and he can live his life totally pursuing knowledge to the exclusion of everything else, which is ascetic life. Sannyasa ashrama shastram recommends, that is Vividisha Sannyasaha. How does sannyasi live his life? He lives his life, isn't it? Studying shastram, understanding the teaching of the shastram, sharing the knowledge with other people, and all of them, if he has understood, he must be involved in mananam. If he has understood, he must be involved in nididhyasana. He must live a life of contemplation, or he must be involved in Shravanam or Mananam and Dhyasanam. So his companion must be a Shastra, his or her companion. This is Vividisha Sannyasi. So eventually in due course of time, Vidisha Sannyasi will attain Jnanam, because he is qualified already, he has adequate, his certain degree of dispassion, vivekaha, vairagyam, he is disciplined, he has mukshutvam, therefore he is also given to the study of the scriptures. Naturally he cannot miss the Jnanam, he or she definitely will attain Jnanam. What the Jnanam Vidisha Sannyasi attains, then he can be Vidvat Sannyasi. Then he can have Jnananishtha. Then he can protect himself. So Vividisha Sannyasi also can eventually attain Jnanam and protect himself. If a person is not qualified, doesn't have Viveka Vairagya, or he doesn't have, he is not disciplined enough, finds it difficult to be disciplined, and even mokshuttam is not very clear. There is no, even the idea of moksha is not very clear for the person. If people understand what moksha is, everybody will love to have moksha. There is no desire for moksha because they do not understand what moksha is all about. Lot of people have wrong understanding. Moksha means going somewhere after death. Or death is mistaken to be moksha also. People hate it. So, such people, if there is no qualifications, such a person, if he takes to a life of Vidisha Sannyasa, without being qualified for Sannyasa lifestyle, without being adequately mature, without Viveka Vairagyam, by mistake your person takes to a life of Sannyasa, some Swami, somehow they get some saffron robes, and they wear saffron robes, means still he is not a Sannyasi. Understand? So Viveka Vairagyam must be there, and a person must be disciplined definitely, the Mukshutva must be there, only then a person can be a Vidisha Sannyasi. Otherwise, even if a person becomes a Sannyasi without the qualifications also, suppose, at least he knows how a Sannyasi should live. Based on that, one can make efforts even as a Sannyasi to become qualified. One must make efforts. A Sannyasi, without the fourfold qualifications, if a person becomes a Sannyasi, the Sannyasa color, the dress should remain the person all the time of his commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, and should help him, remind him of his, there must be constant effort on his part to become qualified. Otherwise, Sannyasa life will be a hypocrisy. Okay. Now, what about people? How can other people protect themselves now? There's no way of protection, is very clear. Other people, other ignorant people who are not it, who have not attained Jnanam, they cannot take to a Vidvat Sannyasa, and they are not yet qualified with fourfold is Viveka Vairagya, etc. Therefore, they cannot take to a life of Vidisha Sannyasa. So, they have to become qualified for Jnanam, for that pursuit of Jnanam, attainment of Jnanam. How can they protect themselves? What is the way? For them, Shruti prescribes Karma Yogaha. Okay? This much is introduction for yesterday's class. What I said as I have repeated. So before we enter into the actually this mantra's meaning, Let us understand Karma Yoga. What is Karma Yoga? How Karma Yoga is explained in Bhagavad Gita. In the whole of Bhagavad Gita, if you take from 2nd chapter onwards until the 18th chapter, even though Atma Swarupam is elaborately discussed in the first 6 chapters and Ishvara Swarupam is discussed in the second 6 chapters, the last 6 chapters, the oneness of the Ishvara Swarupam and the Jiva Swarupam is discussed. How Ishvara and Jiva are essentially one, non-different, that is discussed in the last 6 chapters. That's why we can say the entire Bhagavad Gita is actually the unfoldment of the Mahavakyam Tattvamasi. But the beauty of Bhagavad Gita is that there is the way of life called Karma Yoga. How one can live, one should live a life of Karma Yoga is explained very well. So we'll see that. I want to say beautifully, present it first, then I'll go to the meanings. First of all, for a person to become a Karma Yogi, the person must have Purushartha Nischayaha, point one. Purushartha means human pursuit. Nischayaha, definiteness. Even though there are 4 Purushartha's, Arthaha, Kamaha, Dharmaha, Mokshaha, the 4 Purushartha's, all that a human being wants to accomplish one in his life can be categorized into 4 as Artha, Kama, Dharma, Moksha. There is no 5th end to be accomplished, attained by a human being. Whatever you want to achieve, whoever wants to accomplish anything, all of them can be reduced to 4 Purushartha's, 4 ends. Artha, Kamaha, Dharmaha, Moksha. Of course, you know very well, Artha is something which is sought after, pursued by a human being for feeling secure, for being secure, for one's own security. Is Artha. It can be money, it can be relationship, it can be friendship, it can be marriage, it can be family, it can be progeny, it can be accumulation of wealth, etc. Whatever it is, anything, even academic qualifications, even wanting to be qualified as to be a teacher, etc. Anything is what? Anything a person, human being pursues for his security is Artha. Then what is Kama? So Kama, when a human being wants a change from his routine life a person lives, and he wants a change from his monotonous life. Whatever he does for a change from his monotonous life becomes a pleasure, pursuit of pleasure. And the Shastra does talk about 3 types of pleasure. The 3 types of pleasure a human being pursues. Sensory pleasure. That's why in our dining hall, every day they change the menu. Not the same food every day. They change different. Why? Because this is sensory pleasure. And intellectual pleasure. Now people love to read books, want to know more things. We want to have get good people to who can give or can give us information. Want to listen to them because it's intellectual pleasure. People also are interested in intellectual pleasure, and even some people simply like traveling, seeing things, appreciating natural beauty, and that because that is for aesthetic pleasure. So, sensory pleasure, intellectual pleasure, aesthetic pleasure, people are given to all these different types of pleasures, pursuit of these pleasures. It is not for security. In fact, people have to lose some security in the form of money to enjoy these pleasures. That's why all these cruise ships are not. They won't. They don't know what to do. They can't stop here and come in here to learn yoga. they want to keep going. Okay. Now, dharma, see the word dharma again is a very highly expressive word. Understanding of who Bhagavan is, dharma. Understanding the Lord being the universal, natural, moral law and order. Understanding the concept of Ishvara. So dharma, Bhagavan is dharma for us. But it's a very big word, very expressive. So being religious is dharma. Performance of duties is dharma. Living a life of values is dharma. Being charitable is dharma. Involving oneself in social service activities is dharma. So the word dharma has different meanings. Anyway, here we can take it. The more and more we study the scriptures, our understanding of Ishvara, the dharma, understanding of dharma will also become much clearer. So now, living a life of values, universal values, not transgressing universal values in doing one's duties is also dharma. Now, last one we say, moksha. I quickly want to say this. So, if we analyze these four purusharthas, what is artha pursued for? Artha is pursued for security. See, kama is pursued for enjoyment of pleasures. Dharma is also followed for one's own joy. If you analyze what is security for, what is enjoyment of pleasure for, what is dharma for? In fact, human being pursues artha for security, ultimately for happiness. Human being enjoys pleasures ultimately for happiness. Even he wants to live a life of dharma, even involved in charitable activities, etc., ultimately for happiness. So what a person ultimately wants is happiness, happiness, happiness. Therefore, the word moksha is presented as the last purusharta, in fact, is the absolute end. Parama purusharta. Moksha means freedom. There is another synonym of the word moksha, which is muktihi, mukuhu. Mochanam, vimochanam, there are so many words you must have heard. Moksha is also what? Moksha means freedom, liberation. So human being, not only does he pursue artha, kama, dharma for security, enjoyment of pleasures, actually what he ultimately seeks through all the pursuits is freedom from the unwanted, undesirable, unhappiness, sorrow. Therefore, freedom actually implies happiness. What does he pursue artha for? He pursues artha for security. What does he want security for? Happiness. What does he pursue kama for? He pursues kama, which is for, and he wants to enjoy, wants to have change in his routine, he wants to have pleasure. What does he pursue pleasure for? Happiness. What does he live a life of dharma for? For happiness. What does he ultimately want through all his pursuits? Moksha, happiness, everlasting happiness. Okay? If you understand this, the person who, having analyzed these purusharthas, who is 100% clear, I am living this life ultimately for attaining moksha. And this moksha is accomplishable only through the knowledge of the truth. Because happiness is not some state of mind. Happiness cannot be attained. It's not a state of mind. Happiness cannot be attained because what is already there cannot be attained, and happiness is a synonym of limitlessness and fullness. Happiness can be, has to be discovered as only as the nature of reality. How fire and the heat are inseparable, how sun and the light are inseparable, so happiness and reality are inseparable. So one has to discover reality in order to discover happiness. There's no way of discovering happiness without discovering what reality is. Why? Because happiness is of the nature of, I mean, reality is of the nature of happiness, fullness. Okay? In my discovering reality in terms of its nature of fullness is discovering happiness. If you do not know what fire is, how can you know what heat is? If you do not know what sun is, how can you know what light is? Brilliance is. Because it's a very intrinsic, inseparable nature. Therefore, there's no way of discovering happiness. You can never attain happiness. Happiness has to be discovered only as a surupam of the Atma, surupam of the reality, because they're inseparable. That is why discovery of the reality implied with the term Atma is discovery of freedom, moksha. This is how a person who understands the value of knowledge. For a person to become committed to the pursuit of knowledge, he must know first of all value of knowledge. What can knowledge give me? People who come to study yoga because they know the value of practicing yoga. If they do not know the value, how can they come and study? Why will they apply? Why will they come here? They come here, they want to study yoga because they know the value of benefit of what I can get by knowing me yoga, by understanding yoga. Similarly, one must know the value of knowledge of the truth. Only then they can become committed to the pursuit of jnana. Isn't it? So this person who has purushartha nischayaha, who knows moksha is my absolute end, ultimate goal. Yesterday I said moksha is my moksha is a common human ultimate choiceless goal. That must be clear. One must be convinced of the fact. And any doubt is there, you cannot benefit from the teaching. If that conviction is there, then one should know what? Knowledge is the only means of attaining moksha. Because knowledge itself is freedom. Because the whole bondage, all limitations, samsara, afflictions is caused by ignorance. That is very clear. Then one wants to, that is how knowing the value of knowledge as the only means of moksha, which is a choiceless end, then a person can become committed to the pursuit of knowledge. So karma yogi, see, don't think I'm repeating things what you already know. Why I'm telling here, a person cannot become a karma yogi unless a person has this understanding of moksha being the end, knowledge being the only means of attaining moksha, in order to become committed to the pursuit of jnana. Okay? So karma yogi is the one who has purushartha nischaya, who knows the value of knowledge of the truth, thereby who becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Okay, point two. Once he becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge, he knows what? Shastram is the means of attaining jnanam. Karma yogi is the one who also knows the importance and the value of studying the shastram. And he knows that shastram is the pramanam. You know, pramanam, a valid means of knowledge. To know anything in the world, you can use your sense organs, you can read other books, but to have the knowledge of yourself, to know anything about the known, you can use so many means are available. But to know the truth obtaining as yourself, to know what you are, you need a pramanam, means of knowledge. And Vedanta Shastram is the only means of knowledge. If people come and argue the other means of knowledge, we'll tell them politely, they can go and try that. Okay? We don't need to argue with people. We just say some other means is available, they, and we are very happy for them to try that. To our knowledge, this is available. Okay, Vedanta Shastram is only Pramanam. A person who lives a life of Karma Yoga must have Shraddha in the teaching. He must know that Vedanta is the Pramanam. And the second thing, the person also should know the Vedanta should be studied from the teacher who knows Sampradaya, because there is a method of unfoldment, which is a traditional teaching methodology called Sampradaya. So, because there are methods, the traditional methods of unfoldment are inbuilt in the Shastram. The person must study under the traditional teacher to be a teacher again. So here, a person also should know the importance of studying the scripture with the help of the traditional teacher, Karma Yoga. Okay? Then, not only even if the teacher is available, even if the Shastram is available, if I am not prepared, mentally prepared for this knowledge, the teaching will not be effective. A Karma Yogi should know this. Therefore, the person who knows, I want Jnanam, Shastram is the Pramanam, means of knowledge, the teacher is available here, but am I qualified for this Jnanam? The person, by being exposed to the Shastram, the person understands that he is still not yet qualified. How will you know whether you are qualified or not? Exposure to the study, to some extent, certain degree of exposure to the study will help you understand whether you are qualified or not. The person who understands is this, the sadhana chatushtaya, sampatti is important. I must have such a degree of viveka vairagyam. I must be disciplined. I must have mokshittam. A person can understand. You know whether you have purushat nischeha, whether you are committed to the pursuit of moksha, whether you are interested in, whether you are ready for jnanam, do you have whether vairagyam, whether you are disciplined enough or not, do you have samadhamaha or not, etc. Person can understand. The person who understands are not yet qualified for jnanam, and this person commits himself to live a life of Karma Yoga. Let me follow this way of life enjoined by the Veda Shastra. It is not somebody else has come and taught you how to live your life. Veda Shastra has prescribed this way of life. And as I said, it is a dharma governed life. It is a universal, it's the eternal way of life. Why it is called eternal sanatanaha dharma? Because it is suitable, relevant, you know, acceptable for all people of all times, of all places. Universally acceptable. Even in future, after thousands of years, people will be living here, the way of life will be relevant. People who lived in the past, this was relevant. Even today, even though it's in the highly technology has developed, science has so much of development, scientific discoveries have happened, even today, this way of life is relevant. It will be ever relevant. That's why it's called Sanatanaha Dharmaha. Way of life. Okay. So, this therefore, Karma Yogi is already. Even to live a life of Karma Yoga, a person must be mature. He must have this much understanding. He doesn't have jnanam. He is not qualified for jnanam. So his effort is to, his focus is on preparing his mind for the pursuit of jnanam. Okay, so Karma Yogi is already exposed to the teaching. Somewhere, even though not directly, somehow, somewhere is exposed to the teaching. And how does he do? Okay, Karma Yogi is the one who performs all his duties. And every individual has to play different roles. Not only one role. Different roles. In playing every role, one has different duties. One has to play role of a mother, role of a father, role of a son, role of a daughter, role of a teacher, as a professional, wife. Every individual has to play different roles. In playing every role, one has one's own duties. So in doing all his duties, the Karma Yogi sees that his actions do not go against the Dharma, universal values. The Karma Yogi is the one who knows the value of values, who lives a life of values. First, what makes a Karma Yogi's life a life Karma Yoga? He does all his duties in conformity with the values, Dharma. He strictly follows. Without living a life of values, there is no Karma Yoga. Why? Because living a life of values, see, very important to understand here, living a life of values implies being conscious in what you are doing. Being conscious of what you are doing. Being conscious of what you are doing means you are always alert. Living a life of values means being conscious of what I am doing. Being conscious means being alert. So living a life of values, Dharma in due course of time contributes for an intellectual sharpness. And because you do not want to go against Dharma, even if Karma Yogi has some desires, like Sindhir, no? But because he uses his will, Karma Yogi is the one who always consciously makes the best use of his willpower. People have confusion about this willpower. All of us are blessed with the willpower. What is willpower? The capacity to choose to do a given action, to choose to refrain from a given action, is the faculty of choice. Isn't it freedom? This is actually willpower. The Karma Yogi is the one who makes the best use of his willpower. And he also makes use of his knowledge of right and wrong. See, all human beings are naturally blessed with the knowledge of right and wrong. We need not go to schools or universities to know what is right and what is wrong. We already know what is right and what is wrong. How do you know? I know how others should behave with me. Okay. What do I expect from others in terms of behavior? I want others to speak the truth to me, not to tell a lie to me. I want others not to hurt me, not to offend me. I want others to be kind to me. I don't want others to cheat me. I don't want others to betray me. Isn't it? So I know very clearly what I expect from others in terms of behavior. How others should treat me, how others should behave with me, I know. Others should be nice to me, kind to me, compassionate to me, should not cheat me, should not betray me, should not tell a lie to me. This is what I expect from others. Okay, which means from based on what I expect from others in terms of behavior, I definitely know what is right and what is wrong. Speaking the truth is right, telling lies is wrong, cheating is wrong, betraying is wrong, hurting is wrong, non-hurting is right, being kind is right, compassion is right, hurting, offending is wrong. So I know this. We don't need to go to the universities just to understand the basic values. We all have the knowledge of values. But Karma Yogi doesn't have simply knowledge of values, he knows the value of values. Once you know the value of values, you will make all possible efforts to live a life of values. So living a life of values, when do you live values? In doing all your duties, you see that you do not go against the universal values. Isn't it? So, and I said, because he doesn't want to go against values, he uses his willpower and uses his knowledge of right and wrong, always conscious of what he is doing. He can choose to do the right action. He can choose to do the refraining from the wrong action. If an action to fulfill a given desire, he has to go against dharma and he can refrain from that wrong action. It means he has likes and dislikes, but his actions are not at all dictated by his personal likes and dislikes. His actions are governed by his knowledge of right and wrong. A karma yogi is the one whose actions are not dictated by his personal whims and fancies, but his actions are governed by his knowledge of right and wrong. Whether I like it, I do not like it, I still do it if it is right. Whether I like it or I do not like it, I do not do it if it is wrong. This is karma yoga. Okay? All my actions are governed by... Karma yogi's actions are governed by his knowledge of right and wrong. Very important. Not dictated by his personal likes and dislikes. Karma yogi does not do whatever he wants to do. He may have desires to do the things, but he refrains from things which are not right. He does, even if he doesn't like to do, if it is right. So his behavior, external behavior, his activities are governed by his knowledge of right and wrong. Not dictated by his likes and dislikes. Therefore, karma yogis, intellectual sharpness, emotional stability is taken care of by his commitment to live a life of dharma. Okay, why? Emotionally becomes stable gradually. How? Because of his commitment to dharma, karma yogi has desires. Karma yogi is a jnani. Every human being naturally has desires, likes and dislikes, anger, anxiety, jealousy, hatred. Everyone has. There's no human mind which is absolutely 100% free from these emotions. Who doesn't have? Everybody has. All of us have. The degree may vary from person to person. The proportion may vary from person to person. You may have more anger, I may have less anger, or I may have more anger, other person can have diseases are different. But all of us have these raga dveshas naturally in our subconscious, dormant, latent. All of us have anger, hatred, fear, anxiety. Definitely all of us have. The degree may vary from person to person, the proportion may vary from person to person, but all of us have. And this is it, when situations come, they get triggered, they surface. But when they surface, the karma yogi is capable of managing those emotions. Karma yogi is the one who is capable of managing his emotions. We can never undo our emotions. In jnanam, emotions will resolve for good. But until jnanam, one has to manage one's emotions. How can you manage your emotions? How can you manage your anger? You can't undo your anger. So the anger does not get expressed and cause any damage in relationship, etc. Which means our likes and dislikes, anger, anxiety, fear, isn't it? All these emotions a person can manage. How? Only by living a life of values. Why Shastram emphasizes so much of dharma? Why you must live a life of values? Unless and until you live a life of values, there's no way of managing your emotions. We never manage. We don't think of, when I get angry, when situations are not okay to my expectation, I immediately get, anger comes out and offend other people. Otherwise I want to, no, I don't want to be there. Such intentions come because anger. Purely anger. So here definitely all likes and dislikes, anger etc. can be managed by a karma yogi. Karma yogi can call himself or herself a karma yogi. A person is capable of managing one's emotions by his or her commitment to live a life of values. So dharma helps him, helps a person. Living a life of dharma helps a person manage one's emotions. There is no way of managing those emotions. Dharma helps him to do the right, to refrain from the wrong. That's how one can manage one's likes and dislikes. So, karma yogi is the one who is committed to live a life of values, knowing the value of values. Thereby, he is capable of managing his emotions, likes, neutralize his raga-dveshas. He is capable of managing his emotions. Okay? This karma yogi. And next important point. Karma yogi, when he performs his actions, he is 100% clear that he is living his life ultimately for moksha, for attaining jnanam, ultimately for moksha. To prepare his mind for jnanam, for moksha. He is very clear. Therefore, all his actions become offered to Bhagavan. Because truth is nothing but Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the truth. When I live my life ultimately to discover the truth, which is Bhagavan, all my actions become offered to Bhagavan. Therefore, there is an attitude when a karma yogi, a person who wants to be a karma yogi, when he performs his actions, he entertains an attitude of offering all his actions to Bhagavan. Why? I am doing my duties. It can be cutting vegetables or serving food or teaching yoga or doing anything or doing a duty of a mother or a wife or a teacher or whatever it is, father. Even earning money for the family. Whatever I do, all my actions I am doing for living this life to prepare my mind for attainment of knowledge. Karma yogi is the one who is always conscious. I am doing all that I have to do. I am doing all my duties. Whatever I am ordained to do, whatever I am committed to do, I am doing to live my life in order to prepare my mind for the attainment of knowledge. It is this understanding, this attitude makes karma yogi offer all his actions to Bhagavan. This is called entertaining an attitude of offering one's actions to Bhagavan. It's called Ishvara Arpana Buddhya Karanam. Ishvara Arpana Buddhihi. Ishvara Arpana Buddhihi. Sarvam Ishvaraya Arpayami. My drinking tea, going to toilet, eating, sleeping, teaching, communicating with people, talking to people, whatever I am doing it for the Lord. For the Lord means what? Not to please the Lord. Okay, to understand who the Lord is, to understand what the truth is. I am living my life for knowledge. Therefore, I am doing everything to live my life. Karma yogi is very clear. What is he living this life for? I am living this life ultimately for moksha through jnanam. So, I am doing everything to prepare my mind for jnanam. Therefore, all his actions become offered to Bhagavan. is called Ishwarpana Buddhyakaranam, performing actions with a proper attitude of offering one's actions to Bhagavan. Then next important point is, so I am presenting everything very clearly, because what is said here is not enough. That's why I'm explaining very clearly. Then we'll go to the verses. Okay, doing actions he entertains Ishwararpana Buddhi. How does Karma Yogi face situations in life? Once you wake up from sleep until you fall asleep, you are facing situations. We are with people, you're interacting with people, interacting with society. Isn't it? How do we face situations? The situations, the results of actions, we do so honestly, so attentively, the proper attitude. Wholeheartedly, I work very hard, but the results come. When the results come, results of what I am doing come. Other situations are there. The results may be to my expectation, may not be to my expectation. Results may be diagonally opposite to what I expected. Our results may be exactly what I expected. Maybe, okay? Whether the situations are desirable or undesirable, pleasant or unpleasant, whatever is the situation, whatever comes as a result of whatever I did, okay, how should I be as a Karma Yogi? The Karma Yogi is the one who has to learn to train himself to remain the same in all situations. See, living a life of Karma Yoga is not an easy joke. People think sannyasa is easy, Karma Yoga is easy, sannyasa is difficult. Some people think that is easy, it is difficult. That's not true. Everywhere there is hard work is involved. You know, remaining the same in all situations. Samatva bhavana, samatva buddhihi. Entertaining the sameness of mind, okay? Remaining the same mentally in all situations. Remaining the same means what? When situations are desirable, pleasant, acceptable, then we feel very elated. When situations are not undesirable, the result is not to my expectation, unpleasant situations I have to face, unhappy situations I have to face, immediately we feel dejected, depressed. So feeling elated in desirable situations, feeling dejected and depressed in undesirable, unpleasant situations is very, very natural. It's called being imbalanced, not being balanced. No, being balanced means this, isn't it? Imbalance means what? Being imbalanced means either you feel elated or you feel dejected or depressed. When situations are very nice, when to your expectations, exactly what I expected has come, or more than what I expected has happened, situations are nice, accept pleasant, desirable, then I feel very elated. Situations are not at all to my expectation, results are not to my expectation, I had to face an unpleasant situation, I feel very dejected and depressed. This feeling dejected and depressed or feeling elated in different situations is very natural. It's called being imbalanced. But a person who chooses to live a life of karma yoga will always be balanced. Being balanced means having the sameness of mind. Remaining the same mentally always, without elation, without dejection or depression. whatever is the situation outside, like our Narayani ji. She has no unpleasant situation, just telling you. Remaining the same always. No depression, no dejection, no elation, just always ready to do any help. Remaining the same with elation and dejection is called Samatva Buddhi. So Karma Yogi must have a Samatva Buddhi. If there is no Samatva Buddhi, you should take care of it. Shastra, according to Vedanta Shastra, Bhagavad Gita, if we are not able to maintain the Samatva Buddhi, sameness of mind in all situations, we have it to get ourselves trained. Because without that entertaining sameness of mind, there is no Karma Yoga. Very important. Now the question comes, it is very easy to say to remain the same in all situations without elation, without dejection. How to remain the same in all situations? I said our Narayana ji remains the same in all situations. That's what I said. Okay. Now how to remain same in all situations? It is difficult. Shastram says it is possible provided, na, if you are able to see everything which comes in your life as prasada. It is not at all possible to remain the same in all situations. It's very difficult. You will be dejected, you will be depressed, you will be elated. You will be very balanced always like this. You can never remain balanced. It is not possible at all. It is possible only if you entertain a proper attitude towards all the situations you face in life, you come across in life. What is the attitude one should entertain with reference to situations, in facing situations? Ishvara Prasada Buddhi. Ishvara Prasada Buddhya Svikaranam. In doing actions, we have Ishvara Arpana Buddhi. In receiving, accepting results of actions or facing situations, going through situations, we entertain the attitude of seeing everything as gift from the Lord. Prasadaha, from the Lord. There we understand the Lord as the law and order. Lord, the truth, the Lord in the form of law and order is the bestower of results of actions. Lord in the form of law and order is the ordainer of situations in our lives. Nobody else in the world is responsible for whatever I go through. My pain or pleasure, not my friends, not my associates, not my acquaintances, not my parents, not my relatives, not even our pets who are with you. Nobody is responsible for what I go through in my life. This is another fact. You must understand. A Karma Yogi must have this understanding. Accept this fact. Nobody is responsible for whatever I go through in my life. So whatever I go through, the situations I face in my life, they are all ordained by, determined by Bhagavan in the form of law and order. there is appropriate reason for whatever I go through in my life. There is a proper reason why I go through in this life. There is a cause behind every situation. The cause may not be known to me, but there is a cause. Definitely there is a cause behind every situation one goes through in life. The cause may not be known, need not be known, but there is a cause behind every situation. Therefore, every situation is ordained by the Lord in the form of law and order. Therefore, Lord is the ordainer of the result situations. Lord is the bestower of results of actions. Therefore, Lord is the karma phala data. I can only do my duties. I can use my willpower. I can use my knowledge of right and wrong. I can choose to do the right action. I can refrain from the wrong action. I have only say over performing my duties and actions. But I do not have any say over results of actions. Please understand an important lesson. Nowhere does Shastram say, do not expect the results. No, Shastram does not say at all. Do not expect the results is not the lesson. How can anybody perform any action without expecting the results? It's impossible for anyone to do any action without expecting a result. Shastram says, Moodha api na pravartate prayojanam anudishya. Without expecting a result, even a fool cannot do a foolish action. Anybody and everybody can perform an action, does perform an action, expecting a result only, for the result only. So what Shastram says is, perform action, results are definite. Whether you like it, you don't like it, you expect it, you don't expect it, results are definite. Why? No action ever goes without producing a result. That is law of karma. But the results are definitely there. You can expect the results also. But the results may not be to your expectation. Results may be to your expectation, may not be to your expectation. More than what you expected, or less than what you expected, or directly opposite to what you expected. Results can be anything. But when the results come, isn't it? Understand, all the results of all actions are determined by natural laws. Niyatihi, prakritika niyatireva. It is the natural laws which determine the results of actions. Lord in the form of law and order, the natural laws determine the results of actions. The natural laws are non-different from the Lord. Therefore, law ordained result is Lord ordained result. Okay, once you understand this fact, this is a fact. Whether we like it, we don't like it, this is a fact. What is a fact? We have choice over actions. We can choose to do a given action. We can choose to refrain from a wrong action. We can use your willpower. We can use your knowledge of right and wrong. We can choose to do an action. But we do not have choice over results of actions. Karmani eva adhikaraha na paleshu kadachana. Na paleshu kadachana means you never do you have choice over results of actions. Why? Because results are, the situations are determined by the Lord in the form of natural laws. Natural laws determine the situation results. Why? Appropriate result. this is a fact. Once you understand this, you can see the Lord as the giver of the result. Then that result coming from the Lord is a gift, prasada. Okay? So you can remain the same in all situations without elation and dejection. If you can accept them with sameness of mind, it is possible only if you look at it as a prasadam from the Lord. You can accept it as a prasadam from the Lord if you know it is ordained by natural laws which are not different from the Lord. This is a fact. This is called Ishvara Prasada Buddhya Svikaranam. Another important thing. Karma Yogi is also very sharp. Because his discipline life very sharp, a fact, another fact also has to be remembered here. All situations, all results of actions, success or failure, loss or gain, victory or defeat, honor or dishonor, heat or cold, all these paths of opposites are inevitable in life, but they are of the nature of coming and going. They are not permanent. No pleasure is permanent. No pain is permanent. No success is permanent. No victory is permanent. No honor is permanent. No dishonor is permanent. No gain, loss is permanent. No defeat is permanent. Nothing is permanent. They are all of the nature of coming and going. Why? That is the nature. Even though they are all Lord ordained situations, law ordained results, they are all of the nature of coming and going. They are impermanent. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says very clearly, Agama Apayina Anityaha. Once you know that they are all temporary, when the Karma Yogi lives his life very clearly, there is non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting happiness, absolute peace as the very surupam of the reality obtaining as my own self. I am living this life ultimately to discover the happiness. That is the only permanent thing. And everything else comes and goes. He understands his fact. Therefore, whatever comes, because of his attitude of being able to look at everything as prasadam from the Lord, he accepts them with sameness of mind. He knows because they come and go. Okay? And because he knows the permanent thing is his real nature, which he has to discover. This understanding helps a karma yogi live his life with sameness of mind in all situations, being able to look at everything as prasadam from the Lord, accepting them without elation and dejection. Very important. This is a fact. Everything here is ordained by law, natural law. We do not see the natural laws through physical eyes, but we can understand laws being manifest. Okay? We can understand laws being manifest. Do you see the law of gravitation through your physical eyes? Do you see the law of rotation through your physical eyes? You don't see them, but do you understand those laws being manifest? Something, you know, gets something you lose. You're holding something. You leave it. It goes down. Doesn't float. Why? Because you know why. Whatever any heavy stuff dropped doesn't go up. Doesn't float. Goes straight to the earth. You know. You do not see through physical eyes the law of gravitation, but you understand the law of gravitation being manifest. balloon pumped with air floats, doesn't fall down. You understand? You don't see through physicalized. There's a law of flotation sitting anywhere. But you understand the law of flotation being manifest. Like this, there are innumerable, countless natural laws which exist as part and parcel of the universe. And they govern the results of actions. And all those laws are non-different from the Lord. That is when law ordained is Lord ordained. If we understand this fact, I can accept any situation with sameness of mind because it comes and goes. Whatever comes is prasada. If this attitude of being able to look at everything as prasada is possible, only then you can accept them with sameness of mind. Prasada. Pleasure is prasada, pain is prasada too. Pain is prasada. Failure is prasada. Disorder is prasada. Disrespect is prasada. Everything is prasada. Loss is prasada. Gain is prasada. Victory is prasada. So even if I become successful, I don't feel really elated. Even if I'm a failure, I don't feel dejected. I remain calm, balanced. Because everything is prasada, everything comes and goes. What is there for me to feel elated? Success is going to go away. Pleasure is going to go away. So pain comes, it's going to go away. There's no point in feeling dejected. Understanding of impermanence of situations, that they all come and go, help a karma yogi remain the same. Understanding of everything being prasada, ordained by Bhagavan, the accepting everything as prasada helps the karma yogi remain the same. This is karma yoga. Okay? So you can expect the results, but be prepared to accept any result with sameness of mind as prasada. This is karma yoga. Not expecting the result is not said. Expect the result, but be prepared to accept any result with sameness of mind as prasada. Because this attitude is there of accepting everything as prasada, he can remain the same in all situations. There is no anxiety on the part of karma yogi. In doing any action, there is no anxiety at all. What happens? You're always anxious. Only if you're worried about the result, the prasada buddhi is not there. You will be worried about the result. What is it going to be, success or failure? My God. Now, whatever comes is prasada. I 100% I do my best. Then whatever comes is prasada. I do the best of my ability, then I leave it to Bhagavan as prasada. So prasada buddhi is there, but before already the person is prepared to accept anything. Therefore, he does his duty with focus, attention, attentively, without any anxiety. This is the secret. How can I do my duties without any anxiety? You can do anything without any anxiety, wholeheartedly, attentively, with the focal attention, if you are not disturbed by the worry about what's going to happen. So karma yogi is already, he has prasada buddhi, he has isharpana buddhi, therefore there is no anxiety. Okay? This is karma yoga. So he does his duties. So doing one's duties is said to be nitya karma. Nitya karma, we will see in how technically in Shastra's words, how it is presented, we'll see in the verse. Okay? This is what is karma yoga. And one more thing, a karma yogi, because he is committed to live a life of values, it is very difficult to live a life of values always. There are situations to be cornered to go against dharma every day. You may have to tell a lie, you may have to, even though you know it is wrong, if you don't want to tell a lie, but your situation, you're cornered. So in all situations, being able to follow values is very difficult. That in order to live a life of values, one must be emotionally very strong. Not easy joke. And to have that emotional strength, you need Bhagavan's grace. The Karma Yogi is the one who is always prayerful. Without being prayerful, okay? So Karma Yogi is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, he is spiritual. And because he knows the value of values, he lives a life of values, he is ethical. And because he seeks Bhagavan's grace to be strong enough to be able to live a life of values, he is praying to the Lord. He is very thankful to Bhagavan for all that he is blessed with. He is worshipful. Therefore, he is religious. A Karma Yogi as a spiritual person is religious as well as ethical. An ethical person need not be spiritual. An ethical person need not be religious. A religious person need not be spiritual. May be spiritual. But a spiritual person is definitely ethical and religious. Okay? Why is he prayerful? Always he is worshipful. He is thankful to worship. Being worshipful means being thankful to Bhagavan for all that you are blessed with. And being prayerful means seeking Bhagavan's grace for being able to live a life of dharma. So Karma Yogi is the one who knows, understands the efficacy of prayer, understands the value of values, understands the significance of worship. Therefore, he is worshipful, prayerful, he is religious. He is ethical, he knows the value of values, he lives a life of values, he is ethical, and he is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, therefore he is spiritual. Okay? Karma Yogi is spiritual, religious, ethical. And what is his prayer? O Lord, may you bless me with the knowledge of right and wrong. Bless me with the will to choose to do the right, to refrain from the wrong. Bless me with the knowledge of what I can change, what I cannot. Bless me with knowledge and strength to change intelligently, prudently what I can, to accept gracefully what I cannot. I always tell in all my classes tirelessly, without feeling bored with what I am saying, because it is the most exalted prayer. Why it is the most exalted prayer? This is the prayer which will put an end to the very act of praying. Seeking Bhagavan's grace ardently, earnestly, fervently, for having the strength to be able to live a life of dharma. You know the value of values. You want to live a life of dharma, but you need the strength to live a life of dharma. You need Bhagavan's grace. So we have to pray to the Lord for to have his grace to be able to live a life of values. Okay? Om. We'll do the verse. Don't think I have gone out of the track. I can promise you, I have exactly taught you how we can live a life of Karma Yoga. This is the Karma Yoga taught in Bhagavad Gita. This is what is implied here also. It is not explicitly said, so I have written all the points. For the sake of easy understanding of everybody, we will do what is given here in the afternoon. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnah Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Yubhyo Namaha Hari Om. May Bhagawan bless all of us with all the strength to live our lives in conformity with Dharma. Ultimately, to be blessed to make our lives meaningful, complete, and successful.